In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Lord God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As he continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised a voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. As they were going, they were cleansed. One of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
Okay, the topic we're going to talk about is, we're not going to read and comment the diary today, but rather we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, because yesterday was Thanksgiving, and I'm going to pass out a photocopy of a talk I gave, and it's going to be in Spanish, but it's going to be very simple Spanish, okay? And you can give one to me also, I'd like to have one, yeah. Thank you. This is going to be Spanish 101, okay? I'll translate from Spanish into English, okay? Okay, the topic is Litania, de Acción de Gracias, case would be in English, a litany of Thanksgiving. So you can see there's a wonderful painting there of Christ who heals the 10 lepers. What's very interesting is this, is that there's only one that is bowing down, kissing the feet of Christ, thanking him. Whereas the other 10 lepers, they still have the leprosy, even though they were healed, leprosy of soul that they had after Jesus healed them. That's my interpretation. They were healed physically, but spiritually there was still leprosy within their soul that had to be healed. So what I'd like to do is, I want to give you 5 points on that biblical passage, then we can move in to how we can give thanks in other ways. You all have your copy? So the numbers are still in English, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay. There's no problem there, right, okay? I think they are. Okay, so the first point is The great compassion of Jesus Christ. The great compassion of Jesus Christ. And compassion means the ability to suffer with another person. That's also a dimension of charity, to be able to suffer with another person. And number two would be this: Jesus suffers with those who suffer. Jesus suffers with those who suffer. And we should be willing to do the same. Third point is, Jesus came to heal the sick, the wounded, and the broken. Jesus came to heal the sick, the wounded, and the broken. Fourth point is this: we are all spiritual lepers, but Jesus can heal all of us. Now, will we be healed physically of our ailments? Sometimes. Sometimes. Sometimes God will heal physical ailments. It happens. It can happen right now. You know, you can go to Lourdes, France, and there's healing in Lourdes. But that depends on God's divine providence. However, a spiritual healing, that can happen whenever we want. So none of us have to be spiritual lepers. That depends on us. You go in the confessional, and you make a good confession, and you are healed of your spiritual leprosy. Now, I'm going to say something, because he gave a long hour talk last week on the different roles of a priest as confessor. Remember that? He took one word from the diary and he spent a whole hour on that one word, right? The dynamic of that sacrament is that the priest represents Christ. But really, the efficaciousness of the grace depends more on you than on me. Now, you're probably shocked. In other words, if you come in really well disposed, your disposition is what's going to make the confession a good one, a mediocre one, a poor one. Of course, we can facilitate it by, you know, maybe a question, maybe a word, maybe a word of encouragement, maybe a biblical passage to read. Well, when the rubber hits the road, it really depends on you more than me. So if I go to another priest and I really prepare myself well, as long as he gives me absolution, of course, other things are important. So we can be healed of our spiritual leprosy whenever we want. Okay, number five is, it's five, isn't it? Okay, well, count to whatever you want. For me, it's five, okay? Okay, it's cinco, okay. We are called to heal wounded humanity. We are called to heal wounded humanity. But first we have to be healed by Christ. If we're not first healed by Christ, then we can't heal anyone. Can't give what you don't have. As Henri Nouwen says, either we are wounded wounders or wounded healers. We're wounded wounders or wounded healers. Wounded people wound other people. You have someone that's really wounded. He's angry, he's bitter, he's resentful, he's chismoso, on the attack. He becomes a barracuda, no? He attacks others, no? Or piranha, no? You know those little fish in the Amazon? Okay, so there you have the backdrop of the talk. Now you can turn the page. Now I'm going to give you Spanish 101, okay? Spanish 101. Or Tagalog 101. So the way I've outlined this talk is, the first part is to give... Dar gracias means to give thanks to God, a Dios, para dones naturales. To God for? Hey, you're a polyglot. You know what a polyglot is? Polyglot is someone that knows more than one language. Remember when I was in Rome years ago, the French Canadians were able to pick up this Italian like that, no? Whereas the Americans were struggling after 2 years to be able to speak a broken Italian, no? And the joke was this: what is a polyglot? Someone who knows more than one language. What is a monoglot? An American. Okay, so we're going to go through a list of ways in which we can give thanks to God on a natural level, and God willing, on a supernatural level. And then you can utilize this to really enrich your prayer life, because in your holy hour, I think you should never go through a holy hour where you don't thank God for something. Never allow the holy hour to transpire in which you don't thank God for something. Okay, so first would be for the gift of human life. For the gift of human life. I'm going to betray my age now by mentioning a rock and roll duet of the 60s. I thought that they were really good. They didn't sing any really bad stuff. Today would be considered almost very noble in comparison to modern rock and roll music. Simon and Garfunkel. Have you ever heard of them? Now, they used to sing a song, "I am a rock and you are an island," okay? Did you ever hear that? Yeah. I am a rock and you're an island. You know, I've often thought, I'm not a rock and you're not an island, are you? I mean, God could have created me a rock. I mean, even when I was 7 or 8 years old, once I was sitting in the grass after it was cut there in New York, and I was thinking, I'm not this rock. I'm not this grass. I'm not that dog over there either, no? But I'm a human person, huh? What a great grace it is that God has given me. Of all creation, He's created me the highest in the natural world, aside from the angels. So, give thanks to God that you're not a rock and you're not an island, but you're a human person. Now, part of principle and foundation is meditating upon creation. The human person is the crowning point of creation. You're like the apex, the summit, the zenith. In Spanish, el punto culminante, la cumbre. Okay? The high point of creation is the human person. And everything God created in this world should be utilized as a means by which we can arrive at God. Ladder. You know, everything we use in this world should be a ladder to arrive at God. A ladder. Use everything as a ladder by which we ascend to God. And use and not to abuse. Okay, second, give God thanks for your health. And for my health. I mean, I don't think any of us have perfect health. But it could be worse. I don't have perfect health, and you probably don't either. We all have. You arrive at a certain age, you start to fall apart, huh? I talked to my mom on the phone, and she said, "You remember your dad? She said one part falls apart at a time." Okay. but. At least we were able to make it here tonight, right? Maybe limping a little bit, but we made it, huh? The Italians have a phrase. See if I can say it in Italian, then in English. Quello aquello che cammina con il zoppo impara a zoppicare. Parla italiano? Say it again in Italian. You know Italian, right? Quello che cammina con il zoppo impara a zoppicare. He who walks with someone that's limping is going to learn how to limp, okay? So, give thanks to God that we're able to make it here tonight. And as the poet says, I complained because I had no shoes until I met someone without any feet, huh? I complained because I had no shoes until I met someone without any feet. So thank God for that, for the fact that you have health. Third, thank God for the food on your table. Were all of you fasting yesterday? Ayunando ayer? Half a day? Now we have a lot of immigrants here, but yesterday is usually the day when the Americans eat most. Okay. Well, did you know that there were a lot of people in the world yesterday that went to bed hungry, and some people even died of hunger yesterday in the world. No? So be thankful that None of you went to bed hungry yesterday, did you, no? You probably went to your belt and you unbuckled it one, right? Or maybe had to get a new belt, huh? Remember once listening to Focus in the Family, and they were reading letters of children. And this child wrote this letter to God. God, I thank you that we can choose our own food. I thank you that we can choose our own food. Did you understand that? Has it ever happened that you went to the refrigerator and you're going to prepare your own meal, and you open the refrigerator and there's so much there that you didn't know what to choose from? You're doing a culinary contemplation. A culinary contemplation. Yeah, see, you have the art of contemplation. It depends on what you're contemplating, huh? Turkey, gravy, stuffing, cranberry sauce, apple pie, la mode, pumpkin pie, no? There you are looking at it. You're almost mesmerized. You entered into a natural contemplation. A natural ecstasy. Started to levitate. You're so attentive there that your holy hour went by just like that. Huh? And after that you went to do your holy hour, there you are. So be thankful that you've got something in the refrigerator to eat tonight. Okay, number four. Be thankful that you have a roof, a home, and a bed to sleep on. I've never been in the Philippines, but I've heard of what are called the squatters. They're called the squatters. They usually say poor people, you know, basically setting up like a tent near a bridge or something, and there are a lot of them over there. Well, we could be a squatter too, right? Why are we not squatters? Is it because of any innate goodness in our person? No, because God's so good to us, right? And I've noticed every Thursday I go up to my radio program and I get off on Ramona Boulevard, and what we do is we give to the poor a little bit of food. And these people are really grateful. Roll down my window, I hear you, this is for you. Thank you, Father, may God bless you. I'll give half of it to my friend over there on the other side of the other side of the freeway. Wow. Thanks. I get gratitude and a blessing from that poor man. No? That's not bad. Both gratitude and blessing from the poor. Okay, number five. Thank God for your family. And on the same number, thank God for the goodness you can see in your family members. Try to avoid seeing the negative. and try to see the positive. Because of original sin, it's sometimes easier to see the wart on the nose of your mother-in-law use a literary expression, than the open hands that she has always ready to give. And that's a challenge, to try not to see the negative, but rather the positive. It's true, because of original sin, we're keenly aware of the glaring defects of our husband, or our daughter, or our son. But maybe there's more positive than the negative. And this comes from the enemy. I wish I were born into another family. Why was I born into this family? That doesn't come from the good spirit at all. Why am I with these people? No? I wish I were born in New York. I wish I were born in the 19th century. No, don't say that. Thank God for those with whom God has placed you. And make it a better place. Make it a better place. Compliment and then correct. We want to correct and then compliment, huh? That's the way we are. Compliment, then correct. And if you start to compliment your family members, they're going to love you more and appreciate you all the more. Okay, next. What number? Six. Thank God for freedom. But use freedom properly. Thank God for freedom, but use freedom properly. Spanish, they've got a good word. It's called libertinaje. In English, that would call it, I think, license. Okay? Libertinaje. You know, freedom is called to be used, not abused. Remember when John Paul II, because of John Paul II, the Iron Curtain fell there in Germany? Remember that? And then in Poland, the communist regime crumbled. And then I actually went in pilgrimage about 10 years ago with a group of people at Fatima and about another 50 of us. But I remember John Paul II was afraid because what's going to happen in the communistic regime was they're going to go the other extreme wherein capitalism and liberalism was going to move these people to just follow their instincts. And already American capitalism and materialism started to already contaminated Poland shortly after it entered, communism fell in the 90s. So freedom should be used to serve God. True freedom is service of God. Next, give thanks to God for your natural gifts. For your natural gifts. And put next to that, recognize them. Recognize them and cultivate them. The natural gifts that God has given to you. Have you ever read the literary masterpiece, The Juggler of Notre Dame? None of you. Well, I'll give you a summary of it. It's a short story of this young man who enters into a monastery and to be a brother. And everything he does, he fails. He tries to cook. He burns the food. He ruins the garden. He tries to paint, and he ends up by making a mess. And the member of the community kept him, but they basically said that this guy is worthless. Till one day, about 2 o'clock in the morning, someone hears a noise, and what he was doing was he was juggling. Malabarista. And who was there was the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was juggling for the Blessed Mother. So brother comes, and then another brother comes, and then Father Superior comes, and the whole community, and he's juggling with his back to the community, and there the Blessed Mother is there smiling as he's juggling for her. And download it tonight. It's a short story you can probably read in 5 minutes. The Juggler of Notre Dame, it was written in French, and obviously it's a literary classic now. None of you heard of it, but I have. And the whole message is this. The guy was basically a failure, but at least he could juggle. At least he could juggle, and the Blessed Virgin Mary was very happy with that. So the talent you have, use it. Use it. Even though it might be something very simple, what's most important in the eyes of God is that talent is done, it's cultivated with great love. So probably this morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, your husband's going to get up, and there you are with a couple of oranges that are flumming. We'll start with one, okay? And have a rug there before you, okay? Okay, for lack of time, what I'd like to do is I'd like you to fill in the other three on a natural basis, but let's jump down to the supernatural gifts. So we've done seven, right? Okay, you can fill in the other three as your homework, okay? But let's go to the supernatural gifts, which far transcend natural gifts. Far transcend. Okay, the first is thank God for your faith. Thank God for your faith. What do I do though? I'm going to give you something to thank for, but then the challenge. But cultivate your faith. Cultivate it. What do the young people say? The young people say, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? You don't use it, you lose it. Cultivate the faith. I said before that years ago I could throw a baseball about maybe 82 miles per hour. Now, with the wind behind me, maybe 69 miles per hour. I haven't practiced in many years, no? If you don't cultivate a gift, then the gift becomes rusty, it becomes stagnant. Well, Father John Hardin, servant of God, made this observation. Those who lose their faith are those who give up prayer. Very interesting. Those who lose their faith are those who give up prayer. Because prayer is an act of faith. When you're praying to an invisible God, a God that you cannot see with your natural sight. But God does exist. So actually, the more you pray, the better you pray, the more you're actually growing in your faith because you're exercising the faith by praying to a God you don't see. Thank God also, number two, for the gift of hope. And what is hope? Hope is trusting God. Hope is trusting God. And it could be that a lot of us are really dealing with hope or trust issues in our life. Do we really trust God 100%? Easier said than done. Things go well, fine. But once the trials, the struggles, the contradictions are in our path, that's where God is really challenging us to have a greater trust in Him. Number three is thank God for the gift of charity. Charity. Having a conversation with the other priests at lunch and talking about how so many people really have struggles to believe that they can get to heaven. And I threw out a phrase with Father Craig and Father Larry that they liked, and it was this. Love covers a multitude of sins. I love that. Have you ever heard that before? Maybe you've never heard that. It's biblical. Love covers a multitude of sins. And when Jesus was being anointed by the sinful woman, and you had the people criticizing our Lord, Jesus said, she has been forgiven much because she has loved much. And he's telling the priest that St. John of the Cross has said that one act of perfect love for God is worth more than all the apostolic works in the world. I've tried to do that. Have I arrived? I don't know, but I've tried to do that many times. And I think that this is the best way to do it, and I told the priest. See if you agree with me. Making a perfect act of love of God. You're in your holy hour before Mass. In the holy hour, you're preparing yourself for Mass. Then you go to Mary, and you say, Mary, I'm about to receive your Son in Holy Communion. I beg you, Mary, from the depths of my heart, grant me the grace to love Jesus with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, Lord, Mary, when I receive Jesus, give me your Immaculate Heart, as we read with Mother Teresa. I believe that that's the best way to do it. What do you think? And I think you can arrive at a perfect act of love of God. Because what you're doing is, it's not really you, but it's living out your consecration to Mary. No, Elvira? You're living out your consecration to Mary. You're going to Mary. Mary, I beg you to give me your heart that I can love Jesus totally. So that when you receive Holy Communion, there you have it. And honestly, I believe that that's the shortcut to holiness. You hear me? If you understand this, there's a good chance that when you die, you're going to be able to skip purgatory. Yes. But you have to understand it. And you have to live it. Because why do we go to purgatory? Because our love is imperfect. And the opposite of love is what? Selfishness. That selfishness has to be burned away by the love of God. So that's God's desire for us, is that we arrive at perfect love. And I think we have to go through Mary. If we try to do it by ourselves, it's going to be tainted, it's going to be sullied, it's going to be imperfect. It's like the example that St. Louis de Montfort gives of giving the apple. Give the apple to the queen, she polishes it, puts it on the platter, gives it to the king. The king receives the apple, not so much for the fact that we gave it, but it was given through the queen. And he sees not so much the apple, but the queen who's given the apple. These are some of the shortcuts to holiness that I'm trying to teach you. No? Take advantage of this teaching. Take advantage of it. And then, apostolically, God is going to bless you even more apostolically anyway. Because the more deeply you're united to Christ, spiritually, that overflows in your apostolic work. In other words, the more that you love God, the more that's going to be blessing you in the way you treat other people. I think that's common sense, right? So thank God for charity and pray that you were able to make the perfect act of love for Christ through the heart of Mary in the context of Holy Communion. And we got a secret. Okay, number four, thank God for His infinite mercy. Amen? Thank God for His infinite mercy. Even though the year of mercy has ended, God's mercy is not over, is it? Father Greg Staub, one of his favorite verses was from Lamentations. And it's, every morning God renews His mercy. So every morning the mercy of God is renewed over and over again. Thank God for His mercy. Five, thank God for the communion of saints. Thank God for the communion of saints. You might put in parentheses, we are never alone. because we're surrounded by, as the book of Hebrews says, a cloud of witnesses. Cloud of, not Jehovah Witnesses, but the cloud of witnesses, which would be, the witnesses would be the saints. Find some time every day to be able to talk to the saints. Every day. Never allow a day to transpire in which you're not talking to the saints, at least for a minute or two. For example, today we have a saint that's not too well known, Saint Catherine of Alexandria. That is a martyr. Converted, preaching the Word of God, was persecuted, she was martyred, she put on a wheel and tortured on the wheel. Great saint. And later on, Saint Joan of Arc heard her voices. No? Maybe some of you have read the life of Joan of Arc, maybe seen the movie of Ingrid Bergman of Joan of Arc. No? She had these voices in which St. Michael the Archangel would talk to her and St. Catherine of Alexandria would talk to her. We're gonna arrive at it, but St. Faustina talked to the saints. She actually had a conversation with St. Therese in which both of them were talking about the fact that they would be canonized saints one day. This is when St. Therese was not canonized, but the both of that, an intuition that God was going to raise them to the altar. No? Love the saints. Talk to the saints. Read the lives of the saints. When you're in good company now and then, recount some story of the life of a saint. That's inspiring. Every time Mary gives out the handout, there's a summary of some saint that we should get to know. Not as some distant statue that lived in the Middle Ages, but someone who's alive today. Saints are just as alive today as when they lived. Remember at the end of the life of John Bosco, they were asking, John Bosco asked the Lord to heal him, and he said, he was going to die in a short time, and he said, no, because in heaven I can do much better than here on earth. We can do a lot of good here on earth, but once you're in heaven, you can do even more. Because while we're here on earth, we can still place obstacles in our relationship with God. Because we're sinners. But once we're in heaven, there's no obstacle. There's direct contact with God. So thank God for the saints. Next. Okay, thank God for the fact that you're a Catholic. Thank God for the fact you're a Catholic. Even though the church is going through a tough time, be proud for the fact you're a Catholic. Because, my friends, the Catholic faith is the true faith. It is. Now, people don't like to hear this. Even some Catholics that are liberal, they don't say that. You shouldn't say that. I will say it. The Catholic Church is the true faith. It is. Now, whether or not we live it to the full, that's another question. But it's the true faith. And Fulton Sheen, in his typical brilliant comment, says that Very, very few people have ever left the Catholic Church for what the Church teaches, but what they think the Church teaches. You're dealing with people. How often people make certain comments on Catholicism, but they're just, excuse my English, asinine. They really are. It's just dumb. In other words, the ignorance is so pervasive. But what a rich patrimony we have as Catholics. 2,000 years of preaching and teaching, fathers of the Church, doctors of the Church, saints, apostolic exhortations, encyclicals, canonized saints, martyrs, and what a plethora of blessings that God has given to us as Catholics. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg. Now, if you were to spend 2 hours every night until you died, you would not exhaust the writings of just St. Augustine. And then, you know, if you live to be maybe 95, you'd maybe finish Augustine, and then you could start to read Thomas Aquinas. No? So there's so much out there. So much out there. But be proud that you are a Catholic. And when anyone criticizes the Catholic Church, put up your dukes, okay? Put up your dukes, okay? Levanta los puños, okay? Not physically, but verbally, okay? And I think we have to have more of these Patrick Madrids and these Scott Hahns and these Tim Staples, these apologists, okay? An apologist is, no, I'm really sorry. No, it's not. That's not what an apologist is, okay? Apologist is someone who is able to defend his faith. Now, I'll give you a parallel that's embarrassing. How many people during this political campaign were ready to fight tooth and nail for their candidate? No? Many, right? Shouldn't we even fight even more for our Catholic faith? Even more so. And people fighting tooth and nail for Hillary than for Trump, you know, fighting. We should have even more energy to defend our Catholic faith than those in the political arena. What number are we? Great. That's a number of perfection, isn't it? Okay, 7. Thank God for the 7 sacraments, huh? Thank God for the 7 sacraments. Channels of grace. Thank God for the 7 sacraments. Number 8. Related, number 7. Eucharist. What does that mean? Eucharist means thanksgiving. Especially want to be grateful and thankful for Mass, Holy Communion, and the priesthood. Yesterday was Thanksgiving and I had the 10 o'clock Mass and I pulled a fast one. What I did? At the very end of the Mass, I wanted the people to pray the rosary, so I moved so quick that the people couldn't get out the door. And they didn't know the difference between the end of the Mass and the in the exposition of the rosary, so I just said the final prayer right away, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Padre, Lord, Shri, no Shil. And they couldn't get out the door, and I was glaring at them, so they didn't want to get up and move. I think most of them probably would have stayed anyway, but some of them, looking at the other fervent people, I think they felt embarrassed to get up and move, no? But it was about the most fervent, uniform rosary I've ever prayed. And they were praying with fervor, and probably, I'd say, at least 600 people stayed. So thanks for the Eucharist, Holy Communion, and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And number 9, thank God for Ignatian spirituality. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for Ignatian spirituality. Where would you be without it? I think I know where you'd be. You probably this weekend you'd probably be in Las Vegas living it up. You probably would be. You'd probably be in Las Vegas living it up, okay? Instead, here you are, a good old St. Peter Chanel, huh? The gift of perseverance, huh? You know, Fulton Sheen, once again, has divided history into three stages. And they are the age of faith, time of Thomas Aquinas, 13th century, during the scholastic period, and the 17th, 18th century would be the Age of Reason with Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Voltaire, the Enlightenists. And Fulton Sheen said the third stage of history is the 20th century, and it's called the Age of Feelings. The Age of Feelings. You know, if you don't do the Ignatian exercises, we're going to be overcome and dominated by our feelings, right? So true. How many people, you know, they follow their feelings more than they follow their faith? Most. And that can be very dangerous, huh? Today, what do young people say? I do what I feel rather than what I reason to be the truth. The exercise that teaches us to stop, think, reason, and then act. And not to be impulsive. Not to follow our mere impulses, but rather follow faith and reason. Encyclical of John Paul II, Fides Ratio. And number 10, Hail Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. We want to thank God most abundantly, thank God most abundantly for the gift of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be in a new year. Somebody's saying, what do you think about it? Is it the Chinese calendar? No. This is the church calendar starts a new year tomorrow evening, and that's Advent. And Advent is a very beautiful season, because we're awaiting Jesus Christ, but it's a very Marian season. Very Marian season. Immaculate Conception, Our Lady Guadalupe, the birth of Christ, January 1st, Mary the Mother of God, the Epiphany, all these are their Christocentric feasts, but also Mary is very present. I have a bumper sticker on my car which says, wise men still find Jesus in the arms of Mary. Amen? Wise men still find Jesus in the arms of Mary. So the whole thrust of this talk this evening was to cultivate within us an attitude of gratitude. So hopefully this is going to help your prayer life. Help you to really thank God. And may the prayer of the psalmist be your prayer. And that is, give thanks to the Lord for His good, for His mercy endures forever. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say the Hail Mary and ask Mary to give us a grateful heart. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. See you next year. See you next year. Well, tomorrow evening will be next year, right? God bless you all.